If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and being that it's Thanksgiving, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that encourages us today on this topic of Thanksgiving. Amen. United, say amen. I'm wondering, our text is taken from the 18th verse, but just for the sake of context, maybe you can start at, I love to read the Word of God in church, so why don't we start at the first verse, see what we get. I don't know if that's too much for you, Deb, but you can just read it. For sake of context. All right?
That's okay.
Good. Why don't we read it in concert together? I want you to read real loud. Everybody, on three. One, two, three. This is my Bible.
It is
the unadulterated.
Inspired.
Authoritative.
Word of God.
My life. I will read it slowly.
I will read it prayerfully.
I will read it carefully.
I will abide by its precepts.
I will live by its principles.
I will stand on its promises.
I declare it
in
Jesus' name.
Amen.
I do want to preach this morning from the subject, give thanks with a grateful heart.
Yes.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
the
preacher wants you to give thanks
with a grateful heart.
Look at your other neighbor and tell them,
give thanks
with a grateful heart. You know, it's a simple message, but it's amazing how many people are ungrateful.
That's true.
You'll be surprised how many people have an overabundance and are still unhappy.
I know.
So I want to remind you today, and it's sad that We need a day to remind us to be grateful. We ought to be grateful every day, Fred, for everything that we've got. But sometimes if you live long enough, you come across people who are just not grateful. And I want to pause here today just to remind you and to encourage you. The story is told of a man who was shipwrecked on a lonely island, and he began listening to two voices in his head. I guess that would happen to you if you found yourself on a deserted island. You'd probably start hearing voices. He began to hear an evil voice, and he began to hear a good voice. And so the evil voice said, "You are alone on a desolate island." The good voice said, "But you're still alive, and you did not drown." The evil voice said, "You're separated from mankind and far away from human society." The good voice said, "But you're not starving." The evil voice said, "You have no clothes." The good voice says, "You're in a hot climate, you don't need clothes." The evil voice said, "You have no means of defense." The good voice said, "There's no wild animals on this island." The evil voice said, "You have no one to talk to." The good voice said, "But God allowed my ship to get so close enough to shore that I was able to get all of my basic needs out of it." So the man concluded that there is no condition in his life or in the world so miserable that he could not find something for which he could be thankful for. I wish I had a witness this morning. I wish there's somebody who would look at their circumstances, and in the midst of all of life's struggles and challenges, you will be able to find something for which you can give God thanks for. Amen? If the Apostle Paul was here this morning, he would be very concerned about our level of Christianity today, as was back in the days of Thessalonica. To him, the mark of true Christian faith is that it changes everything you do and everything you say. It affects every area of your life.
Yes.
We live in a time where I was reading an article the other day. I get all kinds of stuff sent to my email, and it was about this divide with Christian circles, and I read it because it got my attention, because it said, it was one of the dating sites, and it was talking about Christianity on trial or something like that, but it said that how many young people today, not just young people, but are willing to compartmentalize their Christianity. It's okay to go to church on Sunday and be one way on Sunday, but then on other issues, especially morality issues, they're so willing to compromise on it. And so if the Apostle Paul was here today, he would have some great concerns for us. Now, a Christian may no longer act as he did before he came to Christ. And the Apostle Paul makes this very clear in his letters. Every letter he wrote ends with a pointed, practical application to daily situations of the truth that he sets out before us. The letter to the First Thessalonians is no exception to us this morning. And these closing verses that we have just read, which is our context for today, are wonderfully practical guidelines on how to live out our Christianity. And I want to just point out three simple ways in which the Apostle Paul stated that for us in the text, and I'm just going to talk about one of those ways, but just to give you the context. So here's what's happening in the context. The Apostle Paul went to Macedonia, and this is his second missionary trip to Europe. On the first trip, they started the church in Philippi. On this trip, they started the church in Thessalonica. But when the Apostle Paul began to preach, it created a conflict with the Jews, and the Jews began to lose ranks in the temple. And so he began to preach about this newness of Christ, and it didn't settle well with them. And so it created problems. Now, when Paul was in Thessalonica, he was staying at a house of a man named Jason. And so they got Jason and they held him in prison because they said that he was harboring these radicals and these crazy people, the Apostle Paul and others. And they held Jason in prison. And the Apostle Paul had to leave town at night and get out of the city real quick because his teaching and the gospel was creating issues in the life of the local society which he lived. Now, on the second missionary journey, they had planted this church, and it wasn't converts from Judaism to Christianity. It was a church where now our Gentiles became Christians. And because of the persecution, what ended up happening is that because Paul had to leave, there was this new church with all these new believers, Gentile believers, Patricia, and they had no pastor. It was a brand new church. Paul had to leave town for fear of the Jews. And so here was this young group of believers being conflicted because they were hearing messages about becoming part of the Jewish faith, and they were being persecuted because they were believers, because it was not cool to be a Christian in those days. So now Paul is away. In fact, text tells us he spent about 3 Sabbaths in Thessalonica, which is probably about just about a month. And he had to leave. So you think of it, a new congregation, no pastor, new believers, no guidance, and they're under persecution. So Paul writes this letter and sends it with Timothy, the young pastor of Ephesus, and Timothy takes this letter. So here is what Paul is encouraging this new congregation to do. So are you with me in terms of the context? You have the context? So this new congregation, on the persecution, Paul can't be there to mentor and disciple them. And so he writes this lesson to this new congregation and say to them, and this is what he says to them. Let's start at verse 12. And he says, "But we beseech you, brethren, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in the love because of their work." Now the Jews, because when Paul started the church, were accusing him of being in ministry for material gain. I don't know where people get this stuff from, you know? That somehow you get into ministry. There's a few pastors who do fairly well, but I'll tell you, the average church in North America is about 60 to 100 people. There aren't too many people getting rich on top of that. So the Jews accused Paul of saying that he was in the ministry only for material gain and to get rich. And so Paul is refuting some of these arguments. Now you think of new believers. I mean, if you're a new convert and you hear that your pastor is just trying to preach just to buy himself a new Rolls Royce and get a big house over in Riverbend someplace, and you're a new believer, that would obviously be of concern to you. And so Paul writes and he says to them, respect those who labor among you, work the Lord is hard over you, admonish you, esteem them very highly in the love because of the word. Be patient with yourselves. And he goes on and tells him, and he says, I didn't write this. I'm saying to you, I didn't write this. Paul intended for this word, the word of God, should govern the lives of every believer in every congregation, not only in Thessalonica, but it should govern our lives as well. Then second, he says, esteem the leaders among you. Didn't have a whole lot to begin with. He says in verses 14 and 15, he says, "We exhort you, brethren, to admonish the idle." Now, there were some people who were sitting around, not doing anything, waiting for the return of the Lord. So, well, Jesus is coming back, so why work? All right? So, encourage the faint-hearted. And these were some of the folks who were fearful of the persecution that was coming. Help the weak in the congregation. Be patient with all. See that none of you repay evil for evil. You think of a new congregation with new believers who aren't mature, there's going to be some infighting taking place. There's nothing new under the sun, Dagmar. Old congregation, new congregation, the same infighting is taking place, even today. All right? Make sure that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. All right? Then he goes on to say in our text that we're going to study this morning, thirdly, he said, now, this is how you are to live with your leaders. This is how you are to live with your fellow brethren, or brothers and sisters in the church. But here's how we live towards God, and it's found in verses 16 to 18. Number one, when it comes to God, the first thing you want to do is rejoice always. Then he says, number two, pray how often?
Continually.
Towards God. And what does he say next? Number three, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm not going to talk to you about being cheerful. Today's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to talk to you about being prayerful. We'll do that on Tuesday night. But I want to talk to you about being thankful in all circumstances. And now that you understand the context, now roll with me. All right? If you never face trials or pressures, how could anyone ever see that you have an invisible means of support within you? That you have a reliable source of strength that others do not know anything about. Paul, writing to this young church, says to them that because of the persecution you're under, because of the circumstances in the church, I'm telling you that you've got something inside of you that the Jews don't have and the people that are persecuting you don't have. And based on what you have inside of you, stand on that. Let that be your internal strength, so that you can withstand whatever may come your way. And so we find that thanksgiving to God encourages a grateful spirit. Thanksgiving to God encourages a grateful spirit. I have never seen someone who continually gives thanks to God with a grateful spirit that's miserable and grouchy on a daily basis.
Amen.
In fact, the reverse is true. So, thanksgiving encourages a grateful spirit. Paul said that the will of God is for you to have a grateful spirit in everything that you give, and give thanks for everything that you have. A grateful spirit makes a person much happier and makes life much easier for the people around them. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Paul did not thank God for the possessions, but the possession of material abundance. Paul did not have an affluent standard of living that most of us in North America have grown accustomed to. Paul did not thank God for an easy time. Instead, we know that he had a thorn in his flesh that bothered him and many challenges that he encountered. He knew the bitterness of persecution. He knew what it meant to be stoned, and I'm not talking about taking drugs. He knew what it meant to experience rejection. He knew what it meant to be a prisoner. I know that some of you don't have some of the basic things that you desire. But I want you to know this morning that whatever you have, God's given it to you. And you ought to give God all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for everything that you have in your life. But like the man who was on the verge of a nervous breakdown and went to his pastor for help, so the pastor said to him, well, why don't you make a list of all the people you'd help over your years? Or make a list of all the people who helped him over the years. And pastor said then, he told the man to fill his mind with thanksgiving of all the things that those folks had done for him. Then number three, the pastor said, sit down and begin to write letters of thanksgiving to a person who had especially blessed his life. And he thought of a school teacher who was a very old lady, and he wrote her and expressed how much he loved and appreciated her as a school teacher. Several days had passed, and he received a reply back from the school teacher calling him by his boyhood name. It read, Dear Willie, as I recall all of the children that I taught over the years, you are the only one who ever took time to thank me for what I did as a teacher. You have made me so very happy. I read your letter with tears. I kept it all. I keep it by my bedside and read it every night. I shall cherish it until the day I die. Thrilled by his reply, the man wrote letter after letter until he had written over 500 letters to different people, and he began to thank them for all the blessing that they had given to him. Lo and behold, it wasn't long after he was no longer suffering From depression and affliction, he found a new joy and a new happiness in his life because he took time to give thanks and appreciate those who had been a source of help and strength in his life. New Hope, I want to challenge you today. Take time to say thank you to those who influenced you and have made a difference in your life. Number two, not only does Thanksgiving encourage a wonderful spirit, but it develops a positive attitude. Thanksgiving develops a positive attitude. You know, and I know as well, that we live in a mighty disappointing world. You don't have to go too far. Every time you turn on the television, listen to the radio, there's some catastrophe, there's some issue that's happening. We're all getting scared of Ebola now, right? I mean, we don't know when ISIS is going to show up in Alberta. I mean, they may already be here. We're living in a very difficult world, right? We don't know what's going to happen to us from one day to the next. But in spite of the difficulties around us, we have much to give God thanks for, and we need to maintain a positive attitude. Now, out of the text, we know that our Lord is coming back for us. Paul says that we ought not to be sorrowful as those who have no hope or asleep, because there is a greater hope coming for us. And I'm standing here today to tell you that even though there's chaos and confusion in our world, I have an inner peace because I know that one day soon, and very soon, I'm going to see my King. Our God is going to come back in the form of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's going to take us to be with him forever. And all the things that we're concerned about today, we will not have to be concerned about anymore. So sometimes we end up in a very difficult situation because of all the stresses and all the concerns that we have. But I want to challenge you on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Let us not fall into the trap of being ungrateful, but let us give thanks. Sometimes we always allow the squeaky wheel to get the grease. But we ought to pause long enough and begin to maybe thank God for those children who don't take guns to school. Yes. Thank God for those kids who don't commit crime. Yes. Thank God for those children who are staying in school and achieving academic successes. Thank God for those who choose not to get a divorce. Yes. Thank God for the pastors who are not fleecing their flocks. Yes. Thank God for members of the church who are faithfully supporting the work of the ministry through difficult and turbulent times. Thank God for those who are serving in pain and discomfort, but they show up Sunday after Sunday, faithfully doing God's work. Thank God for husbands who refuse to abandon their families. Thank God for wives who continue to give everything they have out of love for their families. Thank God for the people who continue to make positive deposits into our spiritual and moral bank accounts. Let's give God thanks for those things that are working. Number three, let's give God thanks. Our thanksgiving produces an attractive witness. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, people everywhere want to be attractive, don't they? All of you got up this morning and you did not come to church the way you rolled out of bed, did you? Fred says, just keep going fast. Everybody want to look attractive. People spend millions of dollars on cosmetics trying to look attractive. If you don't like your hair, you get some false hair. Make you look good. You don't like your nose? You can get nose, they can fix that. You don't like your eyes? They can fix that too. You don't like your teeth? They can fix that too. You don't like your hips? They can fix that. You don't like your lips? They can fix that. You don't like your, they can fix that too. They can fix everything because people wanna be attractive. I believe that Jesus is also looking for attractive witnesses to serve in his kingdom. Yes, and I think that we have too many unattractive witnesses. And I'm not talking about physical appearance. No. I'm talking about attitude and mentality. Jesus is looking for attractive witnesses. And I hope today on this Thanksgiving Sunday that you would become one of those attractive witnesses. Paul may not have been eloquent. His physical appearance may not have been very striking, but his witness for the Lord was always a positive an experience to the people whom he ministered to. He drew men and women to Christ wherever he went. He had a positive attractiveness about him. So New Hope, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let us continue to give thanks with a grateful heart because it produces joy. Let us continue to give thanks with a grateful heart because it will strengthen our faith in the goodness of Almighty God. Let us continue to give thanks with a grateful heart because it will deepen our love for God and for others. Let us continue to give thanks with a grateful heart because it will encourage an optimistic and a hopeful outlook on life. Let us continue to give thanks with a grateful heart. It will help us discover the beauty of living in this world. Let us continue to give thanks with a grateful heart. And let us start today, because today is a good day to start. You may not have what you want, always wanted in life, but thank God for what he's given you. You may not always have the man or the woman you wanted, but thank God for the one that you've got. And if you start appreciating what you got, it may turn into what you wanted. I wish I had an amen there somewhere. You may not have the finances that you... Fred, leave me alone. You may not have the finances that you wanted, but thank God for the nickels and the dimes that you've got. Little can become much if you put it in the hands of God. You may not have the greatest parents in the world, but thank God for those external mothers and fathers who've come around you and have supported you in your times of trials and difficulties. You may not have the education that you wanted, but thank God for the great self-education and the great aid that you've got, and use it to its fullest potential and be the best person you can be with that education. You may not have anyone to sit down with this Thanksgiving dinner, so you can go over to Fred and Pat's house at 3 o'clock. Give God thanks for people who are willing to make their homes open. You may not be in the perfect church, but thank God for the one you got. And if you start praying for it, it'll get better. You may not have the most dynamic preacher in the world, but if you pray for the one that you got, God's not finished with him yet, but if you pray for him, he'll get better too. You may not have the best health that you want, Joyce, but thank God that you still got your mind and you still got your intellect. While the doctors have given you one report, give God praise for his report. Because until God has spoken, you haven't heard from anybody yet.
Yes, amen. That's right.
The fact that you're breathing God's fresh air and his warm blood is flowing through your veins, that in itself requires a shout of thanks and a praise of gratitude to Almighty God. If you're going to take advice about being thankful this morning, then you ought to take advice from somebody who's been down the road that you're on. I was listening to Dave Ramsey on the radio as I'm driving to pick my daughter up from school, and Dave sometimes can be pretty rough on people. And this particular show was one of those shows where he was kind of rough on some people. And I can't remember the context of the person I called in, but he made the comment. He says, I don't take financial advice from broke people, and I don't take fitness advice from fat people. And he was going on about all the people that he takes advice. But there's some truth to that. I think he was rough, but there's some truth to that. If you're going to take advice from somebody, take advice from somebody who has been down the road before and have proven themselves. Now, it's not to say that you can't find truth in any situation, because truth is truth no matter where it's from. I had, a little while ago, somebody was trying to tell me that my daughter was wearing too much makeup. And so I said to them, well, you know, she's got a mother and a father, and if you're okay with it, then it's okay. And I said, well, I don't take advice from people who haven't raised their kids well either. And that didn't go very well either. But if you're going to take advice, about, and that's not to say, again, truth is truth, bears now. But it's not to say that you can't take advice or get truth from different situations. But if you're going to, you know, they always tell you, if you want to be successful, do you hang out with bumps? You got to find other successful people, right? Birds of a feather flock together, right? And so the Apostle Paul is someone that I would be willing to take advice from today about giving thanks to God in all situations. When we read the life of the Apostle Paul in the gospel, in the book of Acts, and in all of his Pauline letters, this is what we've discovered. And you may not have seen it before, but he goes on to says to us, I've worked hard. That's a guy you can take advice from. He's not a lazy person. He says, I've been in prison frequently for the faith. I've been flogged more severely than any of you. I've been exposed to death time and time again. He says, I've received 39 lashes from the Jews 5 times. That's 195 lashes. I've been beaten with a rod 3 times. I've been stoned once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I spent 48 hours on an open sea. I've been constantly on the move due to fear from my own countrymen. I've been in danger from the rivers. I've been in danger from bandits. I've been in danger from my own people. I've been in danger from the Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city. I've been in danger in the country. I've been in danger at sea. I've been in danger from false brothers. I've labored and I've toiled and I've often gone without sleep. I know hunger. I know thirst and I know what it is to go without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. But in spite of it all, give God thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for your life. At the end of his journey, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith and I've finished the race. Fight on, Christians, fight on. Better days are coming. But until then, let us give thanks continually for everything that God has given to us in our lives. Let us give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks for the problems. Not that you're celebrating the problems, but in the midst of the problem, you will experience God's hands working your circumstances out. Give God for the challenges. Not that you celebrate the challenges, but there's a lesson to be learned in every situation. So learn the lesson. Go through it with godliness. Go through it with decency. Go through it with integrity. And let God fight your battles for you. And give him thanks every waking moment of your life. Let your hearts be filled with gratitude. And know all the things that don't work well. But start looking at the things that are working well. And celebrate those things. And give God thanks in all circumstances. Because this is the will of God for your life and for my life. Give thanks with a grateful heart, you hope. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart for all that God has done. So, as you depart from this sanctuary today, you may not have a 25-pound turkey, but you might only have a 5-pound turkey. Give God thanks for the 5-pound turkey. You might not even have a turkey. You might have a duck or a chicken. Give God thanks for the turkey and the chicken. I know what's even better? Invite somebody to share that chicken and that duck. Right? Invite someone to share that chicken and that dog and celebrate. But New Hope, let it not just be on Thanksgiving Sunday. Let it be every day of our lives. Let us reflect through Christ-likeness in all we do and say. This is God's will for our lives. So go through whatever you're going through, and the life has to get balanced. You know, if we had no challenges in life, if the Apostle Paul went into every town, every community, and it was just all smooth sailing, and people were just coming in the thousands, and he wasn't running for his life, it'd be too easy. And I think when life becomes too easy for us, we lose appreciation. So sometimes it's always good to have a little bit of tension in your life, just to keep you on your knees, and to keep you grateful, and remind you of whose you are in Jesus Christ. So give thanks. what a grateful heart. God is going to take the little that you have and multiply it and use it for his glory in Jesus' name. Let us stand together as we read this verse.